3, 2, 1. This is the Insiders Podcast.
In the process of a therapeutic use exemption, it's a backwards mentality where you have to, again, exhaust every single medicine just to come back to the fact that cannabis works best.
That's Elias Theodorou, mixed martial artist and cannabis activist. He's literally fought some of the best in the world and at the highest of levels. Terrible pun. Elias joined me to talk about cannabis and why fighting for its use in sport is so important to him. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Insiders Podcast.
So welcome to the podcast. Anyway, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, I was told also that you have training in about 45 minutes that you have to go to, so you're squeezing me, and I have to say thanks for that as well.
Yeah, there's 24 hours in the day, and I'm just appreciating your time as well.
So just for people who don't actually know who you are a former UFC fighter, you're still a professional fighter, but you're also the first pro athlete and MMA fighter to receive sanctioned exemptions for medical cannabis. Now, is that just in BC or is that Canada-wide?
That is in British Columbia more specifically, but as I'll be handling moving forward in every jurisdiction, that's actually precedent that I can take not only in BC, but also to other provinces and potentially states and countries that, again, recognize mixed martial arts and professional sports and the concept of a therapeutic use exemption. So, it was a process that I started in the U.S. with the United States Anti-Doping Agency when I was with the UFC, but then obviously took in a different direction with the commission, which just to kind of one little caveat to talk about the difference between USADA and my USADA's therapeutic use exemption and this one is basically because I went through the BC Commission, which is part of essentially the government's component of athletics. This is actually another part of medical cannabis rights in BC. And I argued both on the BC Charter, but also the Canadian rights and freedoms that I'm afforded to.
This is kind of a gray area from a legal perspective. On the one hand, now you are allowed your sanction to fight in British Columbia and perhaps the rest of Canada with THC in your body. Have you thought about going into the States, and do you think that'll be a factor when you're trying to cross the border at this point?
I don't think so much. I think, again, my classification, my visa status, et cetera, and all that aspect, it doesn't affect it as much. And again, I'm always, for the most part, I think it hasn't been an issue because, again, I'm a professional athlete, first and foremost, and that's the reason why I'm crossing anytime for business.
Yeah. I interviewed a guy out of Vancouver, Tristan Connolly, and I'm sure it's a small world where you come from, so you probably know who he is. And I had asked him about cannabis. Now, he's not an advocate of cannabis necessarily, but his response was that cannabis can be fine maybe for jujitsu, but not necessarily for striking. Is cannabis something that you incorporate into your actual fighting, or is it more therapeutic before and after?
It's more before and after, but I definitely understand the concept, again, of what potentially could be classified of, getting in the flow state. That would be more of an opportunity in jiu-jitsu because, again, there's movement involved. With striking, it'd be a little harder because there could be, again, any potential delay. My therapeutic use exemption is for pain management, and what I've argued is basically to be able to medicate all the way leading up to my fight, and then I don't medicate before a fight, much like I don't necessarily medicate before, right before I'm training. All of my focus in regards to the therapeutic use exemption, more specifically, and legality-wise, is medicating leading up to a fight. Because again, the classification of cannabis as a prohibited substance is just a stigma and a false classification of where it currently resides, and that's part of that stigma and part of the illegality that some places still have it. So its classification as a Schedule I drug is really why it's essentially on the prohibited list in regards to the USADA and other governing bodies, for instance in Japan and the World Anti-Doping Agency under the UN, how they classify it and how they fund their third-party testing systems like USADA. The United States government pays USADA, so they have to look at the same criteria as they do medically.
When would you say you became a cannabis guy, especially when it comes to your fighting career? Has it always been part of your life and part of what you do?
I definitely discovered it later. Growing up, used cannabis, but not in a medical way, not in a, I wasn't necessarily, again, I was, growing up and kind of didn't use it necessarily in any way, shape, or form. I kind of focused on cannabis much later in my MMA career. I was an athlete who had a a coach that had been a patient for many years. And through my learning as a martial artist, I also learned his protocols, his use of cannabis as a medicine, and being, you know, around it, I saw the therapeutic aspects and also the potential side effects of first line medicines whenever we would travel. Again, that detriment of to one's body being forced to take first line medicines is something that I eventually found out in my own way later on as an athlete with my condition, which is bilateral neuropathy, essentially nerve damage of my upper extremities.
Okay.
So using cannabis as a medicine is allowing me to, again, what's called focus cannabis in a way that first line medicines not only don't work, but also the additional side effects that are compounded on the actual condition that I have. So again, being forced to take any addictive painkillers, you know, opioids, anything in between.
Yeah.
The side effects of those are compounded, as mentioned. And one example, for instance, would be something like Lyrica. Lyrica is a painkiller that I was, forced to essentially exhaust, because in the process of a therapeutic use exemption, it's a backwards mentality where you have to, again, exhaust every single medicine just to come back to the fact that cannabis works best. And in that, again, there's two tracks of being both an athlete and also being a patient. Being a patient, I have a medical condition, but being an athlete, I have to compete at a, you know, high performance level. And having those side effects of something like Lyrica, which would add 10 pounds, I'd be bloated, constipated, and then have to go compete and train and be a high functioning athlete. It's a detriment when in reality, you know, again, just to highlight the stigma and, you know, the backwards mentality, it's totally fine for me to crush a bunch of Percocets before a fight. But any cannabis in your system, it's a big deal. And again, you have the stigma that comes of it, not only cannabis' stigma in general, but also the punishment. There was a time where cannabis would get you a larger sentence in regards to your athletic punishment in your career than an actual performance enhancing drug. Like, you could take an actual steroid and you'd get less time than cannabis. So again, that's something I've been fighting, but many other people have fought before me. The key example would be someone like Nick Diaz, who again got a lifetime ban, then it was a 5-year ban, and then it ended up becoming something like 18 months, 19 months. Mm-hmm. But the person that he competed against had actual 3 different performance enhancing drugs and only got 14 months.
Therein lies the irony.
Again, yeah.
Okay, 2 questions for you. One, is there a bit of a cannabis movement in the jiu-jitsu community these days? And 2, as for being an athlete and consuming cannabis for whatever reason, I'm a runner. I run almost every single day, but I'm pretty mindful of smoking. Because I know that combustion can have an effect on your lungs and your ability to, increase your cardio. Is that something that you keep in mind? Like, when you consume, in order to keep your cardio up to speed, is combustion something that you avoid?
Well, yes, for 2 parts. One is, like you mentioned, but also if I'm going to be an athlete and I'm also going to advocate cannabis, I choose to do it in the healthiest way possible for myself and in general how to speak about it. So I definitely vaporize. Like one of my go-tos, for instance, medicated not too long ago, something like the Crafty by Sirs and Bickel. It removes the combustion, as you mentioned. And again, their feature, they have different capsules where you can actually have all your doses set up for the day. Because if we're going to look at cannabis as a medicine, it's very fundamental to have a routine. And that's something I kind of incorporate through my day from beginning, middle, and end.
Okay. And what about the jiu-jitsu scene? Are you seeing more of it with jiu-jitsu practitioners? Is cannabis becoming a little bit more mainstream, a little bit more accepted when you go and practice jiu-jitsu?
I think they've kind of always been intertwined, cannabis and jiu-jitsu, especially coming from the California, historical component where a lot of the Gracies and other very influential jiu-jitsu practitioners. And then, you have people like Tito Ortiz and other MMA fighters that were coming out of California as well. Again, I think there was an intertwinedness throughout. Mixed martial arts, cannabis, they're very much similar, both in the regulation and how they've kind of were once illegal and some places still are. Having to, again, get the credibility and get the infrastructure to become a legal product or a legal sport. So California and cannabis and jiu-jitsu, they've kind of always been intertwined. But obviously jiu-jitsu, much like cannabis, is spreading, and that's a positive thing.
Was this much of an issue for you when you were fighting in the UFC? As a fan, you can say, well, you had actually a really good UFC record. I think you were 8-3, and even the losses you had were decisions. They went all the way. Was cannabis maybe a factor in being released from the UFC, would you say? Or was it more just, a business decision on Dana White or whoever else is a part?
I think it's, column A, column B, and everything in between. There wasn't necessarily a what's called formal reason. And I think obviously, when you put yourself out there, there are consequences potentially. Mm-hmm. All I know is that I am a cannabis athlete through and through, and I fight on my convictions. And when I, you know, when it's all said and done, people will look at me as someone that, you know, fought to the distance and obviously moving forward to the finish inside the cage and the out. Because whether it's my next fight when I'm going to get my hand raised, you know, in spectacular fashion, or the next therapeutic use exemption that I'm able to acquire and make sure that no other athlete will have to go through the same hurdles and trials and tribulations that I have. You know, this isn't just about me. This is about setting precedent for all athletes moving forward.
So now you're organizing, and I looked online. From everything that I saw, it said in the fall, but I haven't seen that it's happened yet. But you are organizing something with Rise FC, and it'll be streamed online. Is that going to be happening before the end of the year? Is that still happening in the spring? What's the deal with that?
No, it will be happening in the new year. Okay. Obviously, you know, what's called as goes COVID goes the world. So delays have kind of happened in that, but I'm still getting in the gym every single day, like I'm going to be fighting any day.
Okay.
I'm always ready. I'm always a professional. I'm always an athlete, but we should have more news on that in the new year where we can actually set a date. So, and, you know, there's a bunch of legalities and this, that, and the other, but in the meantime, my fight, which will be on Rise FC, I'm really excited to be both a fighter and a co-promoter for this event, and it will be streamed exclusively on Imagine BC. Imagine BC is a revolutionary platform that creates content and is equitable both for the content creator and the actual viewer. And the really cool thing about this, mine will be very much age-gated because I'll be having a lot of cannabis partners throughout, and we'll be creating a lot of original content that isn't available on any other type of social media platform that currently is. Like, for instance, like Instagram and Facebook, which they've essentially blacklisted a lot of cannabis content creators.
Big time,
right?
Yeah.
So that capacity is something that isn't actually there. Imagine BC, which coincidentally is where my next fight's going to be in BC. So I'll be imagining BC both on the app and in my next fight. Again, that equity that I think has been lost over the last little bit in the capacity of us, you know, that's our data and it's valuable. And Imagine BC is an equitable platform that will, again, leading up to my fight, I'm going to have a whole bunch of giveaways. Again, different partners in the cannabis space that will be allowed to promote themselves in a educational, fun, and exciting way in the future. So I'm really excited. I already have my first one. It's called Weigh In Wednesdays. So I'll start doing, you know, talking about my diet, cheat meals, and everything in between. And the one that I kicked off with that is already aired is my smoothie, talking about my cannabis routine. And part of my TUE, it involves THCA, which is the non-heated raw cannabis. So adding it in my diet in the morning, it allows me to, you know, again, absorb all of the cannabinoids with none of the lost nutrients that are in it through combustion, through heating. And cannabis itself through raw cannabis is, again, a fundamental component of my overall cannabis diet.
How do you flavor that?
Well, that one, it depends. Again, you're putting a certain amount of raw cannabis, and I usually pair it with kale, or I'll pair it with...
That's no better.
Pardon?
I said kale's no better. Yeah, they're one of the same.
They're one of the same, right? Like, and that's what it kind of throws it back to. This is another plant that should not be persecuted or stigmatized any differently than kale. And even, for instance, raw cannabis, it can flag you in a way that doesn't even make sense because it doesn't have any psychoactive components to it. There's no quote unquote high. So, you know, you're essentially just persecuting a plant because of outdated thinking. And that's why I wanted to highlight cannabis in my diet and in my routine as a patient and athlete.
What would you say, other than fighting and cannabis advocacy, what would you say defines you?
I think they're intertwined now at this point. I'm a fighter through and through, but that also, you know, that means inside the cage and out. So I'm very much a fighter and looking forward to fighting for the next 5 years because there's a lot of fight left in me inside the cage. Even though my fight has been delayed, one of the things that I fell in love with mixed martial arts was being a student again. I started martial arts at 20 and, you know, falling into the gym and just never leaving. And, you know, really becoming that student was, you know, intoxicating because I wanted to be a MMA fighter. I knew kind of really early on, right? I wanted to be in the UFC, right? But just being in that day-to-day grind is something I love. And I get to wake up and no matter how tough it is, I get to do what I love. So I want to keep doing that as long as possible. But at the same time, being a cannabis athlete is something that I very much am too. So I'm continuing that fight as well. Today it's BC. Tomorrow, I can't say where, but tomorrow And then it's the world. That's what I'll say.
Walking into a UFC fight down the hallway, would your parents say that you're a little bit insane? Do they go, you're nuts or what? Like, I mean, obviously they're your fan, but I mean...
Telling them I wanted to fight, especially because I was, I didn't start till later, right? So there was no kind of gradual. It's not like I boxed. It's not like I, you know, did wrestling. It's not like whatever. It's like one day I was just like, I'm going to gym, and I go every single day. And then when I was in university, I had time to kind of potentially go twice a day and then just constantly going. And, you know, when my friends are going out to parties and my friends are going out to have a good time and whatnot, I'd be like, no, I'm going to pass. I'm going to go train. I might not miss it. No, I have a competition. So like, again, having that structure is something that I think both they didn't quite understand it, especially after I got my degree and I got my diploma. I'll never forget. They basically, after graduation, I said, what do you want to do next? And I said, I'm going to go to Thailand. And I did.
Yeah. I read that.
I had a couple fights and then came back and I said, this is exactly what I want to do. And originally it was a hobby and I, you know, kind of doing it through my time as a student and then kind of continuing that, bringing it back to continuing being a student. And they're so supportive. I can't say that enough. My parents are so supportive and I'm very lucky to have them. And you know, I was able to kind of attempt the dream and I was able to succeed, not really having to fear failure because I knew they were always in my corner.
I like to ask the parent question because so often, you know, as a fan too, you see the fighter, but then you don't think about the extension around them and the people that care about them and go, oh my God, you know. I'm going to finish up with five quick questions that require five quick answers.
Okay.
You can just fire off the answer any way that you want. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm. I'm born ready.
All right. The best fighting movie in your opinion?
Oof. I'm going to say, what do you call it? There's a really good movie. It's called Red Belt. It's a really good movie about, the reluctant hero and his journey to kind of go back into competition when he wasn't necessarily looking to, you know, that was a chapter in his life. I don't know if you ever heard of Red Belt.
No, I'll check it out. It's probably on Netflix. Yep. Question number two, you're Greek. So what's your favorite Greek dish?
Favorite Greek dish? Shoot. I know, gyro. Just go simple, gyro. Anything with lamb, I'm about it.
Okay, fair enough. Your current favorite cultivar or strain?
That's very hard. But I've been very lucky to have some great strains in my life. Let's say it's a two-parter. I don't think I have a one strain. It's a Doctor Who and chocolate.
All right. If you had to choose between jiu-jitsu or kickboxing, but you could only have one, which one of those two would you choose?
I'd probably say wrestling, not even necessarily jiu-jitsu.
Wrestling, okay.
Huge fan of wrestling as a martial arts and just as a competition. It's the grind. Like being able to be, impose your will in wrestling is very different than every other type of fighting. But same thing could be said about striking and jiu-jitsu. They're very different in regards to their will. But I love the wrestling grind.
Okay. I didn't throw a wrestling in there, but good answer. Last question. When you were a kid, before all of this, what did you want to do when you grew up?
I didn't really necessarily have, as a child, I kind of have phases. I want to be this, that, and the other. But I think the closest thing, I really wanted to be a professional skateboarder. I used to skateboard before this. I skateboarded for about 7 years. Got pretty high up in regards to sponsorships, et cetera, et cetera. Traveled a bit to compete. Got a couple sponsors or whatever like that and be able to like ride all my, you know, free swag and thought I was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my game plan. I was doing an actual photo shoot for a magazine and I nicked a skateboard at the handrail right at the top and I fell and I actually broke my hand. Two breaks.
Oh man.
Two breaks, four fractures. And I was 16. I didn't go to the doctor at the time for about 6 months, give or take. And that healed broken. They had to smash it. It didn't take. So they had to give me a bone graft and replaced, basically took bone on my hip and made me in your wrist. And that's actually where a lot of my degeneration, actually bilateral neuropathy, comes from.
Jeez.
The original surgery. I in your scaphoid, it's one of the only, if not only, part of your body that doesn't have blood flow going two different directions. So if you lose that last little part, it'll start to degenerate. So they had to, you know, create a new wrist in that capacity. So it actually, you know, skateboarding kind of led into where I am as a cannabis athlete in regards to the medical. It is the medical reason why I use cannabis today. So it's interesting that one professional dream has kind of overlapped in regards to the latter parts of my life.
Well, both of them have a lot of bumps and bruises. So at least you got prepared, prepared that way. Okay, so when this eventually happens, how can we find out about it? And again, you said it'll be streamed on Imagine BC. The promoter will be you, and you're also doing it with Rise FC. So how will we find out about the event once it's ready to rip?
You can find her on my social and what's called, there'll be a bunch of different media that we're going to be blasting out. But you can also follow me on the Imagine BC app. The Imagine BC app is a social media like no other. Again, it has a blockchain, basis of it. And again, the privacy for both the content creator and the equity, both for the content creator and the viewer is, revolutionary. And I couldn't be more excited to, again, create history with Imagine BC in BC. And you can follow my journey now with all the what's called exclusive content that I'll be creating on Imagine BC. And then the fight will be announced early in the new year.
Thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks to Elias for squeezing me into his busy schedule. And just so you know, that upcoming event that we spoke about is now confirmed for March 6th. You can find out more about it at imaginebc.net, Rise FC, or you can just follow Elias on social. That's Elias Theodoro. I'll spell that for you. At E-L-I-A-S. Theodorou. And finally, a shout out to Jesco for setting this one up as well. My next interview crosses rock and roll with cannabis. Top secret for now, but I'll drop this one soon. And hey, if you like what I do, leave me a review. Insiders Podcast, available anywhere podcasts are streamed. And if you have a story to tell, reach out to me, michael@distinctmedia.ca. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Insiders Podcast. We do our very best to be as accurate as possible, but take no responsibility for inaccurate details or facts. If a topic interests you, we're happy to have brought it to your attention, but please take the time to research the details for yourself. To find out more about Insiders Podcast and all of the work that we do, check out distinctmedia.ca.